Adventist World Radio. From broadcast to baptism. Powered by SID Media.
We've got on the line Advocate Nyaradzo Maphosa to speak to us at this moment. Advovo, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon. How are you?
Very well, thank you. How are you doing?
I am most excellent.
Lovely, lovely. Great to hear from you, man. Well, let's go for it because our time is already far spent. We're looking for some kind of explanations and understanding damages for adultery. Wow. In Zimbabwe, civil marriages are governed by the Marriage Act. It says Chapter 511, formerly Chapter 37. It is a monogamous marriage, meaning that is between one husband and one wife. Parties to this marriage are automatically forbidden to engage in any sexual relationships with a third party while still legally married. Third-party adultery marriages are still valid and claimable in Zimbabwe. The law maintains that there is a need to deter third parties from interfering with their marriage. Hence, an innocent spouse may sue in respect of such a wrongful act. What exactly does this mean? What are third-party adultery damages? Advocate, please help us to understand.
Right. So, you know what? To start off with, people are, you know, in a quandary about this. And, you know, at some point, people were really, just flabbergasting about this to say, why are you suing the third party when the guilty party is your partner?
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
Well, it is what it is. You know, when you're looking at the law, it does not allow a spouse to sue his or her partner. And I am thinking, look, I don't know that there's been an explanation for it, except what you're actually suing for, which we'll get into just now. Mm-hmm. But, you want to think that it's probably a little biblical to say the two shall be one flesh. Mm-hmm. So it's a bit hard to be suing somebody within the matrimony. Your option, if you want out, is to divorce. You know, that's what the law says. Mm-hmm. If you're no longer wanting to be with this person, then divorce them. But the adultery, the third party adultery damages are premised on the following, okay? So the two main reasons that a spouse will sue their wife's boyfriend or their husband's girlfriend. Number one, we call it loss of consortium.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
And when we say loss of consortium, that's how you will notice that it cannot be a suit against the spouse. So what I'm saying to that girl over there who's spending time with my husband is all the love and comfort and cuddling and kisses he should be giving me, he's giving you. All the time he should be spending with me, he's spending with you. Do you know what I mean? Instead of remembering my birthday, he's remembering yours. And so, you know, when we talk of consortium, we are talking of the love and comforts that you get in a relationship, in a marriage relationship. I'm suing for loss of consortium. I'm saying somebody else is receiving what I should be receiving by virtue of my being in this marriage. I didn't come to this marriage to be by myself and to be crying and to be, you know, and somebody else is enjoying the comfort and love and attentions of my husband or of my wife, you know, to my prejudice. Then the second thing that is sued for is what we call contumelia, okay? Or maybe something more common, contumacia, which is injury. You just hurt my feelings, man. Just thinking that he's there with you. I can't eat. I can't sleep. You know what I mean? My heart is broken just thinking that he's with somebody else or she's with somebody else. You can imagine the hurt. People go mad. You know, people go crazy. People get mental illness out of it. You know, a lot of mental illness within marriages has a lot to do with cheating partners. Because, people always say, oh, men can handle, or, you know, women can handle it better than men. No, there's nothing like that. It's just society forgives men more than it forgives women.
Otherwise.
And so men. So men, you know, kind of like get away with murder, because if I go to my mom or to my aunt or to my older sister or to the church leaders, they'll be like, you know, that's how men are, you know, how, especially when you're talking of African men, like, you know, African men, you know, they are like naturally polygamous. So they're happier forgiving and excusing the behavior of men when they cheat than they are with women. With women, it's like, divorce her. Like, why is she, why are you still in the same space? You know what I mean? It's like, now, you know, instant justice, she must go and get a better one. A better specimen, you know. Yeah. So essentially, that is the basis of adultery damages. Number one, loss of consortium. Number two, contumelia, injury.
Contumelia.
You know, a broken heart.
Yeah.
Contumelia.
Contumelia.
Yeah.
It, in simple language, I would say, uyakwenza ukuthi ugoyishe.
Yes.
like you are departure. We are departure.
Exactly. I agree with you completely. Yes. You know, you are, you're making me bleed.
Yes.
You know,
you are there by Terminal A Departures International.
Are you check now? I'm losing igazi. That's not right.
but hang on. Hang on, advocate. I mean, umsolwa is here in the house. Truly speaking,
yes.
Because it would be fair for the wife or the husband to leave umsolwa here, because the lady can then argue and say, well, I didn't invite myself to the relationship. He invited me. I just responded.
Yes. So you pay for your response, because the first thing, you see, I think both parties should definitely be found guilty, because if he went, look, you can look at it both ways, right? So he went and he saw this yellow bone, you know, African men and yellow bones. He sees this yellow bone, you know, or he sees this pretty young thing, whatever, you know, whether she's better or worse off than the wife, you know, you some of these things, you can't understand them. But let's just say he goes and he approaches this woman. That's one wrong. But if women could stand their ground and say, dude, you're married. No way am I giving you my time. I'm also waiting for my own single guy. I'm not going to entertain you. Go back to your family,
Tina,
you know.
Tina,
go back to your wife.
Are you aware that the statistics are skewed?
I know that. And so, perhaps that's where I was going to say, on the one hand, it is him who went there, or her who went after this man, okay? And, you know, these Ben 10s. Ladies are going after Ben 10s, these younger men, you know? And then the other responsibility is, so number one is my spouse who went after you. But the other responsibility is you. You know, if people stopped entertaining married people, we won't have adultery cases.
True.
And
true.
So it goes both ways.
But hunger is a problem. Hunger is a problem, advocate.
Yeah, hunger is a problem. You know, that's why people are in jail for stealing.
Ah, okay. Taking things that don't belong to you.
Taking things that don't belong to you. You know, things are tough. And we know that, you know, a lot of people are having it tough. But work hard. You know what? I'll tell you something. There's a young girl. I think I'd done like a youth program, you know, a young girl who then, and I gave my number out, which I hardly ever do. This young girl called me. She's at university.
Yeah.
And she says, can I take you out to lunch? I'm like, you're a student. What do you mean you want to take me out to lunch, you know? Anyway, eventually I went to lunch with her. I did not allow her to pay. But yo, she was wearing Gucci.
Yo.
Do you hear me?
Yo.
She was coming out of her car far better than mine.
My goodness.
And I've been in practice for a long time. I'm telling her, and I'm like, girl, where are you getting all this? She's like, well, I'm dating this other guy who has no plans for marrying her anyway, but he pampers her. You know, bless us. Typical bless her. She says, let me buy you lunch. So, you know, and I said, so, okay, so where are you staying? He's renting for her in one of the Lani suburbs, a flat. It was actually a house.
Yeah,
a whole house, which he furnished. So where do you originally come from, you know? And like an equivalent of Soweto.
Yeah.
You know, she's like, I'm from Budiriro. I'm like, okay. And who are you living with there? Oh, my grandmother. So what happened to that house? Ah, you know, I can't be seen. So what she was saying to me was, I would like to come out of this because, you know, after you preached to us, I really noticed that, you know, this is not like, this is not what God wants and everything. So I'm like, yeah, so just come out of it. You know what? The Lord will definitely catch you when you fall.
Yeah, yeah.
And she says, how can I go back?
You get where I'm coming from?
How can I go back? And these guys are clever. They don't register any house in your name. They don't register any assets in your name, any car. You know what I mean?
You just have access to them.
Yes, and they give you just enough money for the month, if not for the week, so that you keep hanging on. So in as much as girls are poor, we are all, in a sense, born poor. Of course, there are some who've got a good upbringing and they've got a good family background. But the majority of the African, any African girl or boy, is generally average to poor.
Yeah,
you know, that's where we're coming from. And we're trying to make it in life. There are many avenues that you can use, which are not using your body, which are not destroying families.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, true.
And the sad thing that happens is sometimes this woman, she doesn't have any money. And what we have seen happen is this man now, this is where it now, I don't know whether it pains him or it now pains everyone. She gets adultery damages awarded against her. Let's just say they say, you know, 200,000 rand. Okay. She usually doesn't have that kind of money.
You
can forget it, you know. And so now, in order for her, you know, to stop having her property being executed or whatever, the man is the one who pays the damages.
Oh, okay.
But then if he's paying damages, he's also taking money from our family.
From home, yes.
Hi. So, you know, sometimes you think,
so what have I...
What have I achieved? But... Definitely, usually when people are sued for adultery damages, usually the relationship kind of like ends there.
Yes.
Unless, you know, unless the man was thinking, you know, deeper and further, or the woman, and those are exceptions. Most of the time, by the time you are getting to adultery damages and everything, I think people realize it's not worth it.
Now, how do the courts assess adultery damages, really? I mean, where do they start looking at
right.
Can they quantify the amount of, you know, you mentioned two areas that they look at, but...
the injury.
Yeah, you can't quantify, really, Uguti, the amount of umgowo. I don't know, because yes, she was departing, you know, at departure straight, but... okay, how do they assess it? The damages.
Okay, it's not even that hard. Number one, they use precedents.
Okay.
So they use the damages that have been awarded before, and then they sort of compare the circumstances.
Okay.
Number one. Number two, I think they tend to look at the audacity, eh? Just the temerity. You know, these girls these days, she will phone. I have a lady who phoned the wife. She phoned, like, the husband had switched off his phone or put it on silent, whatever. She couldn't access her boyfriend. So she dares to call the wife.
My goodness.
And they are in bed together, and
the
it's around,
liver.
You know, 9:30, 10. I'm telling you, the liver of
the
it.
Liver.
And she says, well, hello. I want to talk to the guy next to you. Can you give him the phone?
My goodness.
Yo, do you see the audacity?
The audacity, that's true.
So if the court hears that this person is completely unrepentant, you've got those cases where a husband lied that he was married, that he wasn't married, but he was, and this girl was acting in ignorance, right? She will not have damages awarded against her. But you can also get to a point where she now knows. But maybe she's kind of like stuck. Maybe she's pregnant. So you can almost understand why she carries on talking to this man.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, because then she's going to be needing assistance or whatever. You can sort of kind of understand. But then you have that one who knew that this man was married. She was making calls to the wife saying that one is our husband together. And they sent, you know, these messages a lot of the evidence, it's not even hard to gather, you know, these days. It's not hard because the girls, yo, I'm a 2K, shame, you know.
They're brave.
They're doing things. And you know what? And she will allow that man to go and pay lobola for her. Do you see now the, you know, just the extent of, you know, the injury that she is causing and the extent of the temerity and the way that she actually wants this relationship to be permanent. She's got one child with a man. She's got two. She's allowed him to go pay lobola, knowing full well he has, you know, he has a wife in Pretoria there, you know. So that is what the court uses to quantify the damages. They really are looking at the level of the damage.
My goodness.
Literally.
Now, it's hectic, man. It's hectic. Now, and, yes.
Okay, yeah. I was just going to say that it seems like, you know, in Zimbabwe, there was a whole big story about the fact that the Chapter 511, the monogamous marriage, the civil marriage, that it's no longer as strong as it used to be because now people are getting confused about this issue of civil partnerships, which were introduced, which maybe one day we can actually discuss. Then I can just sort of give clarity on that. People thought that it was an allowance for small houses, and yet it wasn't. Because it went round so much in social media, that, you know, outside of an explanation is the general view. So I think the courts have responded. I don't know if it is deliberate or not, but the response from the courts, the way that they are meting out these adultery damages, I think the highest that I heard somebody got, the highest so far that I've heard, I think was $18,000.
My goodness.
So if you're going to say, let's say, you know, that's almost what? It's about 350,000 rand, isn't it?
Yes.
And you hear of 8,000, you have 13,000, you have, you know, they are meeting out those adultery damages without blinking.
You're
hoping maybe that it will be some kind of deterrent.
But it will not deter people, eh? People still go on. And, you know, Matutha was a very brave people, those ones.
Ah, very brave. Yo, they needed their own earth.
Exactly.
Their own world.
Should not be sharing our earth with them.
I'm telling you.
It can be argued by the third party. And I've seen this argument in many places that as a result of the small house, the marriage in the bigger house has become stronger.
How?
That the brother was prepared to leave and could no longer just stand this marriage at all. But because they've got this little house, they are now able to come back home, happy, and they are fine, and there are no issues, and the stress levels have gone down because the wife has been stressing him, the wife has been making him to go through umgoho, etc. And the day he found this small house, that's the day that they also became happy. In fact, some argue to even say to the wife, do you remember that how our marriage used to be? Do you not notice that in the last 2 years we've been more happier? It is because this little house was introduced at that time. So now...
My goodness.
Do you see? Because people have argued that the little houses would strengthen. And I've actually even heard some people in the pulpits making those claims.
What?
Yes,
what?
I kid you not. Goodness. People have made those claims. Even on pulpit, I heard one gentleman, I think it was a year or two ago, making those claims. Now, can that stand? A person arguing that, no. My marriage is standing today. Today it is standing as a result of that. And if you sue her, it means that this marriage is going to fall.
You know what? Number one, let me put it this way. Number one, if that ever happened, it probably happened in the ignorance of the first wife.
Okay.
Or of the wife.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, if it happened, it is very temporary. No way can you then say that the marriage is stronger? All it means is that somebody has decided to go numb. Now, I speak as a woman.
Okay.
In the general sense, to all intents and purposes, there's no woman who can.
Did you have? You're now speaking as a woman. You've left your cap of the legal practitioner.
Of a lawyer. Mm. Yes.
There is no woman who will tolerate another woman in her man's life.
I see.
Number one. And I'm talking about the general rule. There may be exceptions. There will always be exceptions.
Yeah, you're talking about our generation, of course. Mm.
Yes, you know, yes, it's those women. And, you know, this is what I've said on social media. I've said any woman who is generally staying in, and because to me, if somebody is cheating on you and yet both of you entered into this marriage, vowing to keep to each other to the exclusion of other people, right? If somebody starts to cheat on you, that is the highest level of abuse, of domestic violence.
Mm.
And if you look at the statistics, and I speak of statistics, if you look at the statistics, men who generally cheat are generally also very violent.
Oh, okay.
But even if they don't, you know, beat up the wife or anything of the sort, the fact that you are cheating on me, that you are entertaining someone else outside of me, and sometimes you go and you sleep over there and you come and collect your clothes, clean clothing, which I have washed. Then you go with clean clothing over there. you understand what I mean?
Yeah. Happens.
That is absolute abuse. And when I talk to women, they tell me that if you see me on tablets for high blood pressure, know that it is this man and his stories. And why they won't leave. You know what I mean? I always ask, so why won't women leave? Number one, there are two reasons why women won't leave.
Yeah.
Or maybe, you know, maybe three or even more. But the main reasons are, number one, she is not financially independent herself to be able to leave and go and maybe rent out a flat or whatever the case may be, to live independently financially from this man.
So she number will now two, force this man to feed her.
Yes. Number two, it's her and the children. So even if she's able to leave and look after herself, she knows that, you know, men become very, African men especially, they become very vindictive to say, oh, so you have left. Because to him, he'd rather have his cake and eat it.
But if you then say, I'm leaving, he'll take it to say, so even you can live without me. Now I want to show you that you can't live without me.
So he'll stop paying school fees for the children. You'll stop paying for anything else. You will rush to the maintenance court, you know, and if it is a man who's not formally employed, it's going to be next to impossible for you to prove his income. So essentially, when women look at it like that and they weigh, you know, the pros and the cons, they choose to stay.
Man, you know what, Tina, we need to leave this discussion. There's a lot we can actually talk about here because truly speaking, freedom of association is available to everyone. A person can actually start off and it can be proven that no one has actually died because they've left a marriage when they could not sustain themselves. And men can actually point out many examples that many people have actually left marriages and they started from scratch and they are still alive and they have not died. But our time is completely fast spent. We can actually make another time to get to this particular one. But for
probably
today,
yes.
I must thank you. Thank you for coming through.
It's a big story, isn't it? Yeah.
It's a big topic. It's a big topic.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Advocate.
It is my absolute pleasure. I look forward to coming back again.
Thank you so much.
All righty. Blessings.
Bye.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.